So on a Sunday night a few years back, I was making my way to the front of the auditorium shaking hands, and that time there were two twin boys who liked to sit on the very front row. And one of them said to me, "Mr. Bubba, are you preaching tonight?" And I said, "I sure am." And his face lit up and his eyes got real big and his smile got real big. And he turned to his brother, and at that time my head was getting real big. And he said to his brother, "He gives short lessons." And that's why he was excited. Well, I do everything short. I thought when I heard y'all were having a mini meeting, well, they just invited a mini preacher. And so I'm not planning to preach long tonight, but I want to beg of your attention in the moments we have together as we consider the great call to which we just sang about following Jesus. And in particular tonight, the phrase we're going to consider from that great hymn, "Who will follow Jesus, leading others to Him?" And I want to begin in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, at a passage which was read so well for us this morning about Jesus' call of Peter and Andrew. Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 16. "And as he was going along the way by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And they immediately left the nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him." Notice in the words of Jesus that a call to discipleship is a call to change. We see that just in his name change when he called Simon. "You are Simon, you shall be called Peter." He was going to remake him into something new. And here were four fishermen. That's what they did by trade. But did you notice he said, "I will make you become fishers of men"? Doesn't that indicate it's going to be a process of hard work? And you're going to have to remake yourself, and you're going to have to see the new values that are part of being my disciple, being a citizen in my kingdom. "I will make you become fishers of men." Who will follow Jesus, leading others to him? Now, it's been my experience that one of the problems we have is we think about evangelism as if it's just the most complicated thing that you've ever heard of. I remember a few months ago, I had opened up this new credit card, and I got this security message from the company by text. It said, "A new line of credit has been opened in your name." And then it said, "If you did not make this request, do not click on this link." Well, I spent 30 minutes trying to figure out, am I supposed to click on that link or not? I mean, I even went to the whiteboard and diagrammed the sentence and said, if this, then that. Okay, I think I'm supposed to click on. But you know, we think of evangelism that way. Or we think about it being in terms of those who are far away, and we'll send those who go by land and sea to other countries and foreign fields to preach the gospel. And we become so overwhelmed, go into all the world. We say, "I can't even go into all of Clarksville." Well, tonight I just want you to think about it, of going into your world when you lead others to Jesus. And as we see, we won't have to go very far when we just go into our world Now, the text I want us to consider is in John's Gospel, chapter 1. John 1 tells us about three of those apostles that Jesus called, all here in this text, all three together, that will help us in our determination to follow Jesus and lead others to Him. So, John chapter 1, and let's begin reading at verse 35. Again the next day, John, now that's John the Baptist. Again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So they were with John, and then John saw Jesus and said, "There's the Lamb of God." And so they started following after Jesus. And the two, verse 38, Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, now if you have a Bible that uses red letters to indicate Jesus is speaking, you'll notice that John has made this great foundation of who Jesus is and why he came. And now according to John's gospel, these are the first words that are recorded that Jesus spoke. And he said to them, "What do you seek?" You see, people sought Jesus for a lot of different reasons. He's a miracle worker. He'll heal me. He fed a multitude. Maybe I'll get a meal. He's the king, and this is the kind of king I'm seeking. And so Jesus says, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" When I was a teenager, my mother once asked me, she said, "Why do you always answer a question with a question?" And I very cleverly said, "What do you mean?" And then I got grounded. But their question here, "What do you seek?" And they say, "Where are you staying?" I want you to see what they're asking is, can we have time just to sit down and have uninterrupted conversation? Where are you staying that we can go and we can ask and you can answer? And so Jesus responded and said to them, "Come and you will see." They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak, so remember there were two disciples standing with John the Baptist. One of those two was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Who will follow Jesus, leading others to Him? Number one, you can lead your family to Jesus. When you go into your world, I told you, you're not going to have to go far. You can lead your family to Him. Now, we are introduced here to a phrase that we'll see all throughout the Gospels in relation to Jesus and the apostles, and that has to do with Andrew. Almost every time Andrew is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's given that same description he's given here, the brother of Simon Peter. How would you like it if you were known not for who you are, but who you're related to? It's almost like people wouldn't have recognized him if you didn't add that. Somebody said, "Hey, I ran into Andrew yesterday." And the other guy goes, "Andrew, let's see, Andrew, who is Andrew? I can't place Andrew." And they say, "Oh, you know, Simon Peter's brother." "Oh, Andrew, yeah, I know him." Andrew, he was even left out of the great song, Peter, James, and John in a Sailboat. Andrew's in that story. He didn't make the cut for the song. But what a contribution Andrew made to the cause when the first thing he thought of when he found out who Jesus is, I got to tell my brother. I got to tell Simon. Now just think of that. We would not have Peter's great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," had Andrew not first said, "We found the Messiah." What about Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2? Remember we said this morning Peter always spoke first? What if Andrew had not brought his family to Jesus? He first found his own brother Simon. You can lead your family to Jesus. And all throughout the Scriptures, we see this importance placed on family evangelism. For instance, keep your place here, but look back to Genesis chapter 18, to Abraham, the father of the faithful, and notice what God says about him on this occasion. Genesis chapter 18. In verse 17, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed? For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." You see what God saw in Abraham before he even had a multitude of descendants is he's going to bring them and cause them to believe in Jehovah God. He's going to raise them up after him. And through him, then, Abraham would bless all families of the earth. We sometimes say, "Old Noah, I mean, he preached all those years building the ark and didn't convert anybody." Well, did Noah get on the ark by himself? Scripture says there were 8 souls saved by water. Where'd they come from? Well, his wife, their 3 sons, and their 3 daughters-in-law. You know what Noah did? He brought his family to the Lord in a corrupt and perverse generation where every thought was on evil continually. And we say, "Oh, the world's just too bad today." And don't you love what Paul commended in Timothy when he said, "The sincere faith that is in you, Timothy." Well, where'd Timothy get it from? It first dwelt in his grandmother Lois. And Lois brought her family to Jesus. And then Eunice brought her family to Jesus, leading others to him. Don't think about going far. Go into your world and bring your family to the Lord. I thought this morning that this church reminds me a lot of Southside back home, because we have a lot of little children, a lot of families with young children. Our motto is, if you can't convert them, conceive them. And so we've been at it. And I remember a preacher asking me one time, he said, "How many people did the church there baptize last year, not counting the children of your members? Do they not count? Is that not an important work?" And And should we really brag that we're going into all the world and preaching the gospel while our children are leaving the Lord? Lead your family to the Lord. Bring your family to Jesus. Andrew first found his own brother, Simon, who will follow Jesus. A woman was married to an unbeliever who not only didn't share her faith in Jesus Christ, but admittedly tried to discourage her from serving the Lord. And he even got up early one Sunday morning and went out and disabled the car so that it wouldn't start. And he kind of watched through the window as she went out and loaded the kids in the car and tried several times to start it. And then he saw her get out of the car and put one kid on her hip and grab the other by the hand, and they started walking. They were going to just walk to the building. He was so ashamed that he went out and fixed the car and drove and picked them up and went in with them and kept listening until ultimately he obeyed the gospel. And years later, he started preaching. And who knows how many souls were impacted because one woman brought her family to Jesus. Who will follow him, leading others to him? You can first lead your family to Jesus. All right, let's continue in our reading, verse 43 of John 1. The next day, he, Jesus, purposed to go forth into Galilee. And he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So now we're introduced to Philip, who it said was of that same coastal town, a little fishing village of Bethsaida, which was the hometown of Peter and Andrew. So it's likely that Philip also was a fisherman, though we're not told that expressly. But the first thing that Philip thought when he learned who Jesus was is, "I've got to tell Nathanael." Now, if we're just reading through John's gospel, Nathanael is a name that we don't find in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. He's just not mentioned. Nathanael is later mentioned in John 21 in the company of the apostles. But there's a name that's not mentioned in John that's mentioned in the other Gospels, kind of like we saw this morning with Judas, the son of James, and Thaddeus, and that's the name Bartholomew. And every time in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Philip and Bartholomew are always together. And so here's another case where it's likely Nathanael and Bartholomew are the same individual. Either that, or I've concluded he must have been a superhero, that every time Nathanael comes, they say, "Oh, you just missed Bartholomew." And he says, "Oh, he's always here when I'm not here." Either that, or they're the same person. And so the first thing that Philip said is, "I've got to tell Nathanael." And so I want you to see, secondly, you can lead your friends to Jesus, those whom you already have a close relationship with, a connection with. You can bring your family and your friends to the Lord. You remember when Cornelius was preparing for Peter's visit to his house in Acts chapter 10? The record there tells us that Cornelius assembled his relatives and his close friends. They knew Peter was coming to tell them all that had been commanded by the Lord. And so the two groups of people he wanted there were his family and his close friends. And so I want you to know you can bring your friends and lead them to Jesus. A few years ago, when the kids were a little younger, we had a stray cat that had kind of been hanging around the house, and he would come into the garage and the kids would pet him. And I learned through this experience that when you have this stray cat and you give him food and water and a bed and a collar and a name, all of a sudden you have a pet. And that's what we had with Max. And we all loved Max. Now, he stayed outside, but he was always, when we would go out there, he was always there. Until one day, the kids came in and said, Max is gone. And we went around the neighborhood and called out his name, as if cats come when you call their name. And we drove around. We even made these big posters with his picture on it. And it said, Lost Cat. And we did that for a stray. And yet we have neighbors on either side that are just as lost in sin. We have friends that are just as lost in sin. And we don't do anything. Who will follow Jesus? Leading others to him. Look back to Mark's Gospel chapter 5 at one of the miracles that is recorded in Mark's Gospel about Jesus healing this man who was possessed by a legion of demons. Not just one, not just seven like Mary Magdalene, but a legion. And remember, this man was tormented and he lived out among the tombs, and they tried to shackle him with chains and he just broke through those, and there was great fear in the city there of the Gerasenes. And Jesus healed him. This is the occasion where he took the legion of demons and cast them into about 2,000 swine. And you remember the swine went down the bank and drowned in the sea. It was the very first case of swine flu. I mean, it could have been really bad there. And this man, now healed, in his right mind, fully dressed, wanted to come with Jesus. And Jesus told him no. Can you imagine that? Lord, let me come with you and your disciples as you go back across the sea. And Jesus said no. And here was the reason in verse 19. He did not let him, but said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Do you see Jesus reasoning there? If you go back across with us to the other side, people there don't know you. They don't recognize you. But you go to your people, and they'll see what's happened. And you tell them who did this. Can I ask you tonight, has Jesus done great things for you? Has he had mercy on you? Then go tell your people. It's kind of like seeing the before and after. This is what I was. That's who you knew me as. I'm not that anymore. This is who Jesus has made me to be. Leading others to him. And you can lead your friends. And do you know what happens when you lead your friends to the Lord? Your friends become your family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm the youngest of four children, the only boy, three older sisters. When people would ask me when I was growing up, tell me about your family, and I'd always say I have three sisters and no bathrooms because they were always in them. Now I'm an orphan. Both my mother and my father have passed away. But you know, in the kingdom, I've got a lot of brothers. And I've got mothers and fathers in the faith. Lead your friends to the Lord, and they become your family. Well, let's look at our final example here in John 1. So we've seen Andrew and Philip. Remember what Philip said to Nathanael. Look back in John 1 at verse 45 when he said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now that statement would have raised two red flags in Nathanael's mind. He knew the prophets. Remember, they'd been searching, they'd been reading, they'd been waiting for Jesus. And the prophets said that Jesus would come from Bethlehem. What's this Jesus of Nazareth? And the prophets said Jesus would be the son of David. Who's this son of Joseph? And so do you see why Nathanael would respond in verse 46? He said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Lead your family. Lead your friends. Number three, lead the misinformed. The skeptic. You look on a Bible map and you'll notice that Cana of Galilee, which is where Nathanael was from, we learned that in John 21 and verse 2. So Cana of Galilee and Nazareth are neighboring towns. I don't know if there was some kind of rivalry there between those two cities. I remember doing some preaching in Canada, and Canadians, I learned, look down on people from Newfoundland. Call them Newfies. One guy asked me while I was there, he said, "Do you want to hear a Newfie joke?" And I said, "Well, sure." Well, all it was an Aggie joke, and you substitute Newfie there. Same joke. And those Canadians might have said, "Can any good thing come out of Newfoundland? Such an insignificant city, the greatest story ever told, the Savior of the world from Nazareth. And I want you to be impressed with the way Philip responded. Philip said to him, "Come and see." You invite someone to the services here. And they say, "Oh, I know about that church. Y'all don't believe in music over there." You say, "Well, just come and see." "Oh, that's a group that they think they're the only ones going to heaven." Well, come and see if you detect that kind of spirit. You may have heard that from somebody. Why don't you come and make up your own mind? Lead the misinformed. You see, what we do is we decide for them. We don't even make the invitation because we assume they're not interested or they would never come. Instead of just saying, come and see. See for yourself. And then you decide. And to his credit, Nathanael did. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Apparently, Nathanael was in a place under that fig tree where he knew nobody else could have seen me. Nobody else could have known I was there or what I was thinking about. And so Jesus, when he said, I saw you under the fig tree, he understood this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. To which Jesus said, If you come and follow me, you'll see greater things than these. When both of our kids graduated from high school, we let them that year pick the location of our vacation. Wherever they wanted to go, we would try to work that out. My daughter wanted to go to New Hampshire. We had never been in the Northeast, and she's the kind that likes to go to the little towns and villages and shop. So we went up there and got to go into the mountains and see the beauty and grandeur of God's creation. And there was this one place where as we were winding our way up, they had these places where you could pull off and take pictures and see the sights. But eventually, you made it all the way to the top. And there you saw the complete picture, the panoramic view. And so we stayed up there a while, and then we started making our way down, same way. And as I saw these people pulling off on these little viewpoints on the way up, I just thought about rolling the window down and shouting out, You will see greater things than these. This is just a foretaste. Nathanael would see Jesus turn water into wine. He would see him calm the sea. He would see him raise the dead. All because his friend said to him, Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Leading others to him. Church was going to have a gospel meeting, and one little eighth grade boy decided he was going to invite his best friend. They had lockers right next to each other in school, and he invited him to come to the meeting, and the friend came. At the end of the meeting, the friend was baptized. Well, by this time, his parents were a little concerned what their son had gotten into. So they decide, we're going to go and investigate, see what this is. He must be in some cult over there. So they went, and they sat down and learned and listened. And through the course of time, the mother and the father and now the other brother and the sister had all obeyed the gospel. Those three siblings went on to marry Christians, raising up their family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the friend of the eighth grader, who was the first one, He serves as an elder of the Southside Church where I preach. And you see the story through an invitation of an eighth grade boy. So let's not be overwhelmed. Let's not be defeatist. Let's not be distracted. That when we follow Jesus, like Him, we're going to be looking for those who need salvation. And that may be you tonight. That may be your decision to come to the Lord and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins and being baptized. It may be that you need the prayers and encouragement of your spiritual family here, your brothers and sisters. And so a song of encouragement has been selected for you to let us know you want to follow Jesus right now while we stand up and while we sing.